Hi, I'm Dr. Wambui, and welcome to the Drug Chat. I think that the human body is intricately created, making us one of the most amazing living things on earth. In this podcast, we explore how the body works and then apply the drugs. My hope is that with this knowledge, we become better healthcare providers, whatever field of medicine you may be in, better caregivers to our patients or to ourselves. We do take medicines from time to time, don't we? All right, let's break it down. Hello, my podcast friends. I hope you guys are doing well. We're continuing today with our stroke and particularly how to make sure clots do not form, right? And moving on to antiplatelet drugs. Basically, these drugs are against platelets. And remember, all of us, what we're trying to do is to make sure blood clots do not form, right? And so, of course, you're wondering, why are platelets involved when I'm making a clot? Well, let me tell you. On a normal working day in your body, let's say you get an injury, like a cut, right? The body sends signals to your platelets telling them to please travel to the injured area, a lot like there's a spill on aisle 6, go over there kind of thing. And once the platelets arrive at the scene of the crime, they clump together to form a clot. So they're usually the first people there. So in this case, there's no clotting cascades or anything like that. It's just platelets getting there, clumping together, and voila, a clot is formed. So they're first on the scene before all the domino effects that come around with the clotting factors. But it's a temporary patch over the leak. But then I'm making it sound simple that, yes, it's just going there and plugging the area while the people with the real work come to do it, right? But for a good plug to form, there must be four things that happen, four things that these platelets must do. There must be adhesion, activation, secretion, and aggregation so that the clot that is formed or the plug is strong enough to hold on while the cascading thing happens with the clotting factors so that they can finally bring the permanent one, which is the fibrin, okay? But in this case, the four things are adhesion. Adhesion means the platelets get there and they stick together and stick to the torn wall of the blood vessel, right? Then there's activation and secretion. I put them together because after the platelets stick where there is a tear, they then change shape from a smooth disc to a ball shape that has long arms that can reach out to other platelets to activate them. So it gets there, and as soon as it plugs to where the tear is, it changes its shape. I know it sounds like a sci-fi movie, right? Changes its shape, gets its arms, and it's able to tap other platelets. Now, once these other platelets are activated, they too come and stick together. But another thing that's happening when that shape changes to a ball that has arms is that some chemicals inside the platelets are released, are secreted into the bloodstream. That's the secretion part, right? And these chemicals, they signal other platelets to come and help. I keep telling you, this body of ours is the most amazing machine that's walking this earth. So it's changed into a ball shape. It has called the or reached out or activated the platelets that are nearby, and chemicals have been released from the platelets and they've gone out into the bloodstream to go and call other platelets wherever they may be. Come on down. Aisle 6 has a spill. Okay. So this sending out of signals and calling others is what helped with aggregation, which is basically all these platelets that have showed up for duty form a platelet plug. They not only stick together, but also stick to the blood vessel that has a tear. So, okay, so of course now you've understood that, right? So platelets stick to the blood vessel, adhesion. Change shape, signal other platelets to come help, activation and secretion. Stick to each other,
aggregation, a good platelet plug is made. So though it is a complex process, it normally just takes seconds. I keep telling you, we are amazing. And I, like I said before, a platelet plug is only a temporary fix. It can't last long on its own. It needs a fibrin clot to come and actually seal this well. So you'll see antiplatelets used in various disease states like acute coronary syndrome. And in our case, as we've been talking about, the acute ischemic stroke. You'll see it in stable angina. You'll see it primary prevention of coronary artery disease. You'll see it preventing venous thromboembolism, just to name a few. But here, the take-home message is that you'll see them used in other disease states besides strokes. Okay? So these platelets are classified into four groups: platelet aggregation inhibitors, because you can imagine these wonderful discoverers that figured out that this is how this, what these platelets do, were able to, that made it easier for them to come up with drugs that will come at each of the different stages and help. So platelet aggregation inhibitors, these glycoprotein platelet inhibitors, thienopyridines, and then there are miscellaneous ones, which are phosphodiesterase inhibitors that we'll talk about all this later. But let's start with the platelet aggregation inhibitors. And by now, I know you're just as impressed as I am by this wonderful scientist discoverers that figured out how our bodies work on a normal day. And then they figured, you know, how about we stop the platelets? So the first antiplatelet that came up was aspirin. And I think we've called it aspirin for so long that sometimes I think we forget that its chemical name or its generic name is acetylsalicylic acid. Aspirin, the name aspirin, is actually the brand name given by the originator, Biopharmaceuticals, way back in like 1897, 1899. So it's been around for a while. So it is the most common oral antiplatelet drug, which obviously works to stop the platelets, but it's also used as anti-inflammatory, anti-pain, anti-fever. But again, we're going to have tunnel vision and focus just on how this clot cannot form, and aspirin being used to do that. So how exactly is aspirin stopping clot formation, you ask? Well, platelets have a molecule called cyclooxygenase 1, and for short, we call it COX-1. And this COX-1, it helps or is in the pathway of how platelets aggregate. So that whole thing, aggregation thing, and the chemicals being released, some of those chemicals that are being, that are in the platelet are cyclooxygen, and it's actually an enzyme. Okay, so aspirin blocks this COX-1, and platelets cannot aggregate. And if the platelets cannot aggregate, then the clot cannot form. And specifically, aspirin has an acetyl group that binds to COX-1 and irreversibly inhibits COX-1. All right, so very simple. Aspirin is making sure that these platelets do not aggregate so that the clot cannot form. And it does that by inhibiting or blocking cyclooxygenase that is found in the platelets. All right. So for this, a low dose of aspirin, like 75 to 150 milligrams, can induce complete or near complete inhibition of COX-1. So I'm hoping that what you're hearing me say is that to be able to make sure that the clot does not form, don't go giving 326 milligrams of aspirin. 75 will do just fine. So 75 to 150 will induce complete or near complete inhibition of COX-1. Once aspirin is in your body, it gets rapidly absorbed in the stomach and small intestines. And that's an important little point for when we talk about side effects. It is mainly metabolized in the liver. So be sure to look for drug-drug interactions, because you know the liver is where a lot of metabolism happens. And it's excreted mainly through the kidney. Okay. And the common side effects for aspirin will include upset stomach, heartburn, gut irritation. So please advise your patients not to take aspirin on an empty stomach. Make sure they take it, you know, even if it's just a snack of a piece of bread, because obviously if it's being absorbed, remember I just told you that it's absorbed a lot in the stomach and small intestines. So if it's going to go and irritate your gut, then it's good for the aspirin. By the time it gets to your gut, it finds your gut very well lined with some food, so that something else is going on. It doesn't have to touch your walls. So the side effects are drowsiness, mild headache. And again, these are side effects. They go away after a while. And honestly, I don't think I've ever come across a patient who said that they're going to stop taking aspirin because it's making it making them drowsy. Okay. So the less common side effects and serious ones would include worsening asthma symptoms, vomiting, stomach inflammation, stomach bleeding, bruising or coughing up blood. So because remember, we are stopping blood clots from forming. And so some of the side effects can have to do with easily bruising even. All right. So that is aspirin. Platelet aggregation, making sure that that doesn't happen, so that make sure that, I mean, clots don't form, you know, so aggregation doesn't happen, that way clots do not form. And it's been a while, for quite a while, and in as far as this particular part is concerned of no clots forming, you just need a low dose that is in the range of 75 to 150 milligrams. All right, so I'll see you next time as we talk about the next part of the antiplatelets. Let's stop these guys that are the first on the scene. All right, have a good one. I am Dr. Wamboi, and thanks for listening to this episode of The Drug Chat. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And remember to share with your friends. Until next time, stay inquisitive. Bye.